Today on Real Radio.
Ink. It's just ink. Don't trust in it. Paul is saying, when God goes to work, church, listen, when God goes to work, he doesn't use ink. It's obvious because of the work.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. Did you know that some have become believers in Jesus by examining the faith, even with a critical eye, only to find that it differs radically from all other so-called great world religions? For others, well, sometimes it's the other way around. They become a believer, then they learn why their faith in Christ is the only path to eternal life. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses now in his look at the first paragraph in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's a lesson called, What's So Great About Christianity?
Think about it. I am only a channel standing here. I'm like a tube. And out comes from me the Word of God, which is very fun too because it's not my word, it's His word. So it comes out onto you, then you go and live it out and are being radical witnesses and examples for Jesus. Amen. And so I'm there, this pastor and this, and I'm thinking, what a bunch of knuckleheads. So I couldn't wait to get up there and say, it's everybody at home. I talked about you doing Christianity because that's what you do. And so Paul, and I agree with Paul, I don't need a letter. I don't need an announcement. I don't need a certificate. All I have to do is look at you. And unborn children are being saved rather than aborted. I look at you, and truck drivers across America are getting the gospel. I look at you, and I see people feeding the homeless. I look at you, and you're clothing people who have nothing. I look at you, and you're the ones who, by your generosity, are feeding people who pull up to the church on a daily basis and need groceries. I look at you, and you guys are the ones providing the opportunity for the gospel to reach tens of thousands of people every day, 5 days a week, in radio programs across America and around the world. You're doing that. Don't ever think for a moment, oh look, and let me speak on the behalf of others. Oh look, there's Pastor Rosales, or there's Pastor Reese, or there's Pastor Greg Laurie, or there's Pastor Chuck Smith, or there's Pastor Swindoll, and oh look at them. Are you kidding? Only tubes that have been used to get people in touch with the Word of God, and those people have made something happen. And tragically, the pastor or the evangelist is recognized at times like a rock star, and they have nothing to do with it. They should be the most humbled people in the entire equation, because it is a miracle. God at work in you. It's an example that, in my opinion, the observer has got to deal with. It is awesome to think. And then there's the commitment. Look at verse 2. Written in our hearts, the commitment of that. Simply this, the ministry is a two-way street. There is the giving and there's the taking and the giving of a loving relationship that cannot be denied. The third thing is this, that it's obvious because of the effect. What is the effect? He says in verse 2 that the ministry through the Corinthian believers, the ministry through the Chino Hills people here, or the Calvary people, whatever you are here right now, there's that interaction that the Word of God is preeminent. And there's an effect. He says, known and read by all men. Look at this, the effect, known and read by all men. The observer is watching. Listen, Christian, you know this, but I want to encourage you this year. The observers are watching you and I. They'll never read a Bible, perhaps. You are the only Bible that they're reading. All year long, they're going to look at you every day at work. Hey, you were late again. So what? Well, are Christians supposed to be late to work? Have you noticed the standard they hold you up to? It's fantastic. Hey, man, I saw you drive by me. You're going 80 miles an hour in a 50. I thought you were a Christian. I am a Christian. Have you noticed that? Hey, dude, I heard you talking on the phone. It sounds like you hung up on your wife. What's the deal, man? I thought you were a Christian. The world's going to do that. You say, I don't know if the world's doing it. They're doing it to you. They are doing it to you. And I love it. It's a good thing to work in the world. It's a good thing to be surrounded by a bunch of pagan, ungodly. It's good. Why? You know what? Man, keeps you on your toes. It's good. Known and read by all men. 1 John 4:17 says, love has been completed or perfected, worked out among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. What? In this world. Hello, Christian. As we go around tomorrow, as we launch out into work tomorrow, those that we work with should be able to say, you know what? There's a lot about you reminds me of Jesus. Wouldn't that be great? That's our target. That's our goal. That they mistake you for Jesus. 1 John 4:17. Known and read. There's no greater investment than to be with Jesus. Look at Acts 4:13. The Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, notice the effect, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, they didn't go to Harvard or graduate from Talbot Theological Seminary or Liberty, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Listen, everybody, are you guys awake? Listen, this is exciting to us. How do you live the absolute most perfect potential for God and his plan in your life? Listen, I'm not disparaging education. It all depends on who you're being educated by. Education could be dangerous. But know this, you will never go wrong and you'll never be led astray, and you can guarantee boldness and effect if you're educated by Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Unplug from the world, get alone, shut the curtains, hide out with Jesus. Physically, if need be, get on your knees, get on your face, call out to Jesus, make it a habit. Don't launch out without his power upon you. It's all important. And then third and finally, it is this. What's so great about Christianity is that it's obvious to the Redeemer. And let me explain what that means. The Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, this way, it's obvious. What? What do we mean? It's obvious to the Redeemer, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ, and here's what you cannot separate. Watch, everybody. Jesus Christ is the origin of Christianity. Christianity simply means those who follow Christ. To be a Christian means to be a Christ follower. If you're a Buddhist, you are following Buddhist teaching. You are Buddhist. If you are a Mohammedan, you are following the example of Muhammad. If you're a Christian, you're following the example of Jesus Christ. Okay? That is called Christianity. And listen, don't ever judge Christianity by one person's actions. In fact, don't judge Christianity by those who say they're Christians. Judge Christianity by what it teaches. And then take what it teaches and match the mandate up against those who are following Christ. You see, Jack, I thought you said in the opening that it's us having our faith in him and not what we do. That's right. It's not what we do that earns us a place in heaven. But if we are really Christians following Jesus, then what he does is that he gets inside us and he begins to reach out through us. Jesus Christ begins to live his life by the Holy Spirit out of our lives. It's never of us. What are we supposed to do but be yielded to him? Surrendered to him. Letting him live through us. It's obvious to the Redeemer this way, obvious because of his work in us. He says, verse 3, clearly you are an epistle of Christ. Man, Paul is nailing it. He's saying Jesus is the one. Church, you're going to want to write this down. I think it's extremely beautiful. He's saying Jesus is the one that is writing your life's story. Jesus has your plan. Clearly, Jesus Christ owns you. That's your property of the living God. And that is an awesome thing. John 17, 21 says, "There, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us." He's talking about the believers. "That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect or complete in one, and that the world may know," there it is, "that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me." Church, listen, God cannot lie. The Bible says that as the Father loves the Son, okay, listen, when I get done saying this, act Pentecostal for a second. act like you love this stuff, okay? Jesus is saying, as the Father has loved me, so the Father loves each and every one of us, exactly like that. That is a biblical fact and truth. But we walk around like this. I'm a Christian. How's life? It's so hard. How's things going? So difficult. We're Christians. Does anybody love you? Just God. That's all. The Bible declares, as God loves his Son, God loves you. We need to meditate. You know what we could honestly do for the next 52 weeks? We should do a message just on that verse alone. Because it's going to take us that long to get that. Don't ever think, well, nobody loves me. That may be true, but God loves you. Okay? It's his work. Secondly, look it, it's a work. Ministered to by us, Paul is saying. Ministered by us. God loves you. God's reaching you. But the amazing thing is God uses people to minister to people. It's amazing. Jesus Christ, really, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has commissioned his followers to minister his gospel truth to the world. To minister. All right, for me, this is where the message begins. It begins in the ending. This is exciting. Will you all look at me, verse 3. Look where it says here. Ministered by us, not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. This is amazing. Watch this, church. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John 14, is the very one, the helper, the parakletos, the one who comes alongside the Christian and then indwells the Christian and empowers the Christian to live the Christian life. All right, listen. It's a work that's done by God. It's his work. Watch this. When he says it's not by ink, there are those that were walking around saying, look, everybody, don't listen to Paul. Did he bring you letters of recommendation? No. Then he's an imposter. See, we've got letters of recommendation. Follow us. And they were giving false doctrine. You know, people are suckers for that stuff. I got a letter from the most honorable, right, reverend, father, pastor, Billy Bob. Wow. Ink. It's just ink. Don't trust in it. Paul is saying, when God goes to work, church, listen, when God goes to work, he doesn't use ink. It's obvious because of the work. His work, a work, the work. Look at the end of verse 3. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart. The tablets of stone have multiple meanings. Watch this, church, because I know where you're thinking. It's exactly where I'm thinking, and no doubt we can apply that, but watch. There were those who carried about a stone of approval. It had like a crest or a logo on it. Hey, you see, I'm sent to you guys by, and they would pull out the stone that was embossed on it, the company card. You do it today with a company card. I come to you in the name of DuPont. Oh, really? Show me your card. Who are you? Can I get in touch with you again? Who do I tell them sent me? Here's my card. Back in the old days, they would hand you a stone. Paul is saying, do we need stones with embossed markings on it to qualify the ministry? No. God does something greater than all that. He doesn't write on stones. He doesn't even use ink. Don't you love Paul's philosophy of ministry? Paul is saying, hey, God writes on the heart. How do you combat that? Ten Commandments. Written on the heart or written in stone? Stone. Listen, hear me out. I say this reverently because there's a ministry for it and of it. Could you ever get the Ten Commandments inside your heart? If I beat you with the Ten Commandments, would it ever get inside your heart? Even if you attempted, first of all, could you obey them? No, you can't. But if you tried and you did, what if you kept 9 of the 10? According to the Ten Commandments written in stone, if you broke one, you're guilty of them all. It's like a guy climbing up of a cliff with a chain. Oh man, I'm doing good. I think I'm going to set an Olympic record. He gets all the way to the top, and the last link at the top breaks. How many of those links have to break for the guy to fall? Anybody? Only one. The law cannot save you. The Ten Commandments were never given to save. They can't write, the Ten Commandments can never go from stone onto your heart. It doesn't have the power to do that. It only stands as a bulwark, standing there as a sign pointing to perfection. But it can't get you there. So the Bible comes along, or the New Testament comes along. In fact, it's not, let me correct that. It wasn't even the New Testament. In the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah in the Old Testament, God said the law was not going to work. I'll prove it to you in a moment. The tablets of stone, the recommendation, it's got to be of the heart. I'm going to tell you a personal story. We'll come to the conclusion of this. I put this here for a purpose. This is the second thing I wanted to share with you. I'm holding in my hands right here something that I know that people would love to have. People have strived to get this, to be able to say they have it, to put it on their wall, and to look at it, maybe position their desk in such a way that when you're looking at them, you have to see it. For what reason? To let you might know how spiritual I am. To let you know how qualified I am. To convince you of what? This is cool. Watch this. What I'm going to show you here came in the most wonderful ways. Having been schooled at Calvary Costa Mesa over the years, and then the ministry in Chino Hills starting, home fellowship, and then God bless in it, that was already in the works. And then what happened was this thing got out of hand. And a lot of people started coming, and a lot of things started going on. And as I was trying to find a pastor to take this work over so I could continue my career at Baxter Healthcare, Pastor Chuck was encouraging us, well, you know what? You got to go through all the process. These people are writing us here at the church. They want it to be a church. And I said, well, that's great. Find a pastor for it, and that's fantastic. And I really told him that. And that went on for a year. And then one day this arrives in the mail. This is an ordination certificate from Calvary Costa Mesa. It's got my name on it. Pastor Chuck signed it, a few other guys. It came in the mail. I opened it up and I said, what is this? Now, that may burst your bubble because you want, maybe I should wear a robe. I should come out here, you know, with, welcome, godly people. Look, I don't know. Here's the deal. When I asked Pastor Chuck, what's going on? What is with this? He said, you know, and I listened to his answer. He said, listen, it's not our job to ordain anybody. We can't do that. You hear what Paul's saying? It's not with ink. But he said, Jack, we would be fools not to recognize what God's doing at Chino Hills. It's the fruit that has caused me to send you this ordination. I want you to think about that for a minute. It has nothing to do with the ink. It has to do with what's coming out of it. What's coming out of the ministry, that is. On that certificate, on that ordination diploma there, it's announcing, it says right there in John 15, that this is given with the hope and the recognition that the fruit of Jesus Christ abides forever. Whenever the Word of God goes out, when the Bible goes out into your heart, you never have to worry about it abiding forever. It will. It will change your life. It'll change everything about you. And so this is very, very good news. I want to end with this verse. Ezekiel 11 and Jeremiah 31. This is remarkable. It's not written on tablets of stone. The work that God wants to do in your life has got to be of the heart. That alone makes Christianity a standalone. Ezekiel 11. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Now watch this. It's with the house of Israel first, but it's the exact same covenant for the Gentiles. How is a man saved? How does a man go to heaven? What did Jesus tell a Jew named Nicodemus? What did he tell him? You must be born again. You and I, Jew or Gentile, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes on. Verse 32, Jeremiah 31, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. Though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What the law could never do in your heart, a love relationship with Jesus Christ does, and he writes his law on your fleshly, soft heart, and you are born again. You desire now, welling up with inside you, I want to follow God. I want to know God more. I want to pursue him. And the proof of that happening are changed lives. And no letter, no stone, no document can make that a reality. Only God's calling.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called What's So Great About Christianity? It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the very first paragraph. What's so great about Christianity is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse examination of this letter, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've told you all about our free app for your smartphone or tablet, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs smartphone app. Real Life with Jack Hibbs also happens to be the name of one of our television programs, and you can certainly visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And watch that program online. But you can also watch the television program right there at your smartphone or tablet through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. So just another reason to download it, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.